When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Chicago's Afternoon News, 720 WGN. Big rally tonight for the Chicago Wolves. Doors open at 4:30 in Rosemont, and then the rally starts at 5:30. They brought home the Calder Cup. They are the champs. Hey, I'm Lisa Dent. Steve Bertrand is here. Mary Vandeveld, Kevin Powell. And on the phone is Evan Burnick. Evan is with the NIU College of Law, and we wanted to talk to him about some of the things that the Supreme Court has ruled on over the past couple weeks. And Evan, it seems like they've been really busy. Like it's just been boom, 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 boom. What is happening? Why so quick? Why so many rulings coming out?
So June is always a busy opinion publishing season, Lisa, but the sheer rapidity that the court has gone about business over the course of the last few days and the amount of constitutional law that has changed over the course of the last few days really is remarkable.
So it started with the Miranda rights. Where do they stand on that now? Do we not expect our Miranda rights to be read to us by a police officer when we're under arrest?
Miranda has not been overruled, and you still expect police officers to recite your Miranda rights if you are placed in custodial interrogation. However, it's a big however, if you're not provided with your Miranda rights and you seek to sue the officer for violating the Constitution for not providing you with your Miranda rights, you can't actually do that. The court has said that even though Miranda is a constitutionally inspired rule, violation of Miranda, failure to read you your Miranda rights, doesn't itself violate the Constitution. And so the statute that provides you with damages, money damages for constitutional violations, if your rights have been violated, doesn't allow you to recover for not having your rights read to you.
And then there's Roe v. Wade, which, of course, has set the world on fire and led Chicago's mayor to say blank. One of the justices, Justice Thomas. Why am I blanking on his name right now?
Justice Clarence Thomas.
That's right, because I'm just seeing her face and saying it on stage, which has set a bunch of people off. And we all know what has been overturned, but do you think that will trickle down and erode some of the rights of gay marriage, of, so many other things that could be associated with that?
Well, the first thing that I want to stress is that having abortion illegal in half the country is bad enough, and there are lots of things that states and the federal government can do to respond to that need. That being said, yes, I think that there are legitimate concerns about the erosion of other rights, because when the courts considers the possibility that the test that it's used to determine that abortion rights aren't protected by the Constitution, which is, was this right a traditional? Did it exist during the historical period in which the 14th Amendment was ratified in 1868? That might endanger all of these other rights, rights to same-sex marriage, rights to use contraceptives. The court says, don't worry about those rights because they don't involve the complicated moral questions that are presented by the destruction of fetal life. And the authority that they cite, the case that they cite for the statement that distinction is meaningful, is literally the case that they are overruling in this case. They cite Roe v. Wade and Casey v. Planned Parenthood for the proposition that prenatal life is special for constitutional purposes. So I think there are good reasons to worry about all of those other rights as well.
This is Evan Burnick. He's a professor at the NIU College of Law. We're talking about the Supreme Court rulings. And, of course, the latest is about prayer and this particular teacher. And why I'm always confused by this is I know that if I am insubordinate, my employer can fire me. And in this case, they asked him to stop doing this. So let me just run down some of this story, and you can tell me if it is true or what is true and what is not true. So we have a teacher, a coach who works for the Bremerton School District. That's a public school district in Washington State. The school district eventually told him he should find a private location to pray because he was praying on the 50-yard line. He declined, continued his practice of dropping to one knee and praying on the 50-yard line. He later invited journalists and a state legislator to watch. The district gave him a poor performance evaluation, and he did not apply to renew his contract after the 2015 football season. He sued, claiming violations of his right to free expression and religious freedom. Lower federal courts said that because he chose to say his prayers in such a prominent place, he was acting as a public employee, and his conduct was therefore not protected by the First Amendment. The Supreme Court saw it differently. Where do we stand now?
So we stand in a state of utter confusion as to the states of our First Amendment law after this case. The reason that we're talking about the Constitution at all in this case and why it's a bit different than the situation of a private employee who is fired by their employer for being insubordinate is because this guy does work for the states. He is being disciplined by the states. And then you have to worry about the First Amendment, which applies to state action. The court below said that what the school district did in disciplining this guy was okay because there was a good reason to believe that what he was doing was violating the establishment of the clause of the Constitution, which requires the separation between church and state. The court said that what he was doing could be reasonably interpreted as endorsing religion. And so restricting this guy's freedom of speech and his free exercise was okay. The Supreme Court reversed and said, you thought that was the test, Ninth Circuit, but that is, in fact, not the test anymore. In fact, we are overruling two lines of cases, laying out Establishment Clause doctrine and replacing it with something new. And here's the thing. They don't really tell you what it is. We just know that it's not. It's not the Lemon test that the court had applied for decades. It's not this endorsement test that the court had applied for decades. It seems to be something along the lines of, is the practice that is challenged as breaching the wall of separation between church and state something that was regarded as religious coercion at the founding? And if it wasn't that, then the Establishment Clause doesn't get involved. So it's a very, you know, we were talking about history and tradition in the context of Dobbs, history and tradition focused test. And it's going to make it a lot easier for schools to do things that could be reasonably interpreted as endorsing religion or furthering religion.
And that's what every average person will say. Well, what about separation of church and state? And the other amount of texts that we're getting are people saying, what if it was a prayer mat? What if he wasn't Christian, but he chose to, you know, to honor Allah?
Yeah, so I think that there is a dynamic to this whereby a majority of justices are suspicious of secular school officials or perceived to be secular school officials that are overzealously trying to comply with constitutional doctrine that they want to actually get rid of as soon as possible. So the school officials say, we're complying with the Establishment Clause, which says we can't be interpreted as reasonably endorsing religion. The justices are saying, well, that's a ridiculous test anyway. So there's a great deal of sympathy for this coach that's up against what they regard as bad constitutional law. And now they're in the process of reversing all of this constitutional law, getting rid of all of this pro-secular, keep religion out of public schools stuff that they disagree with. And I think that there is a real concern about what this history and tradition test would mean for outright requirements of school prayer, whether those cases that say that there's this wall of separation are going to last much longer if people try to push the boundaries and enact laws requiring stuff like that.
What do you think the teacher will do? Will he now sue the school district or will he want his job back?
I'm not entirely sure about that, and I would only be engaging in speculation, but it's clear that his suit now has a chance of going forward, whereas once it did not.
Thank you so much for joining us and explaining it. We sincerely appreciate it. Evan Burnick, professor at NIU College of Law, teaches courses in constitutional law, criminal procedure, administrative law, and legislation. And I would imagine your students are not in session right now, but this will still be a topic when they come back in the fall.
Absolutely, and the syllabus will look a lot different than it did last year as a consequence of what's happening over the last few days.
I bet it does. Coming up next, Steve will update you on everything that's happening in the world of news that is on the way on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.